morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to see you all today. Just a few announcements for you. Just a reminder that there are no Wednesday activities this week, since this is Thanksgiving week. But there will be a community Thanksgiving service that will be aired online. So wherever you normally go when you are not here to see the service, that's where you will find the Thanksgiving service, and it will be available Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Your new offertory envelopes for the year are here, and they're in the office if you'd like to pick those up. Deacons will be meeting tonight at 5 o'clock in the Family Life Center. And probably some of you are wondering, Christmas? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Why is the sanctuary decorated for Christmas? And that's because we are putting together a Christmas concert for you guys. There is a concert in the summer, and there will be a Christmas concert, so we had to decorate early. So enjoy the Christmas trees, and then enjoy your turkey on Thanksgiving. Last announcement, many of you have asked how Andy is doing, and we heard from Kim this morning, and Andy's doing well, and he badgered them enough yesterday that they let him come home. So he's at home with Kim, and she said he's doing much better today. He does go back in 2 weeks for a secondary surgery to put in a battery pack, or as Andy likes to call it, his garage door opener. So continue to be, actually, I didn't know what it was because he kept saying garage door opener until I asked Catherine. So that will be in a couple of weeks, so do keep him in your prayers as he recovers and goes for that second surgery. Andy is watching today, so everyone say, hey, Andy!
Hey.
He's watching from home with Kim. In Andy's absence today, we do have Carson Putnam, who's over here on the front. He'll be sharing with us today, and he's the youth and children's minister at Zion Baptist. Haven't even met him yet, but do give him a warm welcome and say hey to him today at the end of the service.
It is good to see. Morning. Today we want to pray for the family of Harold Weaver. That's a brother to Carolyn DeBrew, longtime member of our community here. And we want to lift Andy up in prayer still. We know his surgery went well. Doctor said there was plenty of room to work around in there. He said he's watching, so I'm going to make a joke. Plus, I'm not going to make eye contact with my family. But we want to keep him in our prayers anyway. So if you will, pray with me. Father, there's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot that's happening both in our community and worldwide. And Father, we know that you're in control of all those things, but it doesn't change the fact that we want to be in prayer for those. Father, be with us as we worship today. We pray for genuine worship. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with y'all today. My name is Carson Putnam. I've been the youth and children's minister at Zion Baptist for 3 years now. But I'm from the area. I grew up in Shelby, and I actually went to Crest High School, which means that I've taken several AP exams here at Poplar Springs. But thankfully, not all memories connected to Poplar Springs bring back like memories of panic attacks that I haven't studied enough. Actually, here in the sanctuary, my wife, Lainey, couldn't unfortunately be here with us today, but the first time I ever saw her was in the sanctuary. She was in a wedding, actually Ethan and Mary Catherine Oliver's, Andy's youngest son's wedding, which he officiated. So good memories too, and it's a pleasure to be here with y'all. I think I met Andy for the first time in middle school, and ever since he gave me a dime after my first middle school tennis match, which I'm pretty sure I lost, and told me to go buy something really fine for myself with it. He's kept me in stitches and laughter ever since. I'm sure none of y'all can imagine Andy joking or like having a sense of humor or anything. But it's a huge honor to be here and be with y'all today. Speaking of, our scripture for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Feel free to follow along if you want. But hear these words. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and all our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord for us, his people. If you will, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, that in times of plenty and in times of want, in our own deserts, that you guide us, that you are there with us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love, that you would chase after us and desire to know us and for us to know you. Lord, this morning, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All the wrong places. I don't know about y'all, but I know people who found themselves in the wrong place before. In fact, my aunt one time found herself in the wrong place, and I only tell this story because she used to tell it on herself. My aunt lived in Lincolnton, North Carolina. It's where my mom's family's from. And one day she and a friend wanted to go to Charlotte for a full day of shopping. My uncle was super excited about that. So they left from Lincolnton. They knew the way. They'd been before. And they knew about how long it took to get from Charlotte and to Lincolnton on the highway. And they got everything together that they needed. And they went. They set off on their trip. But there's something else that you need to know about my aunt before I go any further in this story. And that's that my aunt loved to talk. I don't know if you've ever met anybody who loved to talk. When I say she loved to talk, I mean she was the kind of person who, if you saw her at the store out in public somewhere and you needed to be somewhere in the next hour and a half, you just try to avoid her. You didn't make eye contact. She loved to talk. And so did her friend. So she and her friend got in the car and they started off towards Charlotte. And once they got on the road, they started doing what they loved to do, talk and catch up. That's a diplomatic term for gossiping sometimes. And according to my aunt, it was just a little ways down the road, and it really didn't feel like that long before she noticed something. She looked over at her friend to tell her the next part in the story, and that's that the next road sign read, "Welcome to Columbia, South Carolina." My aunt loved to talk. My uncle's lunch break that day was interrupted by a call from a gas station outside of Columbia. This was before cell phones. Asking directions from Charlotte to Columbia. Most of us know or have known somebody who's ended up in the wrong place before. Now, it might not have happened quite like that, but we've all known somebody who's ended up in the wrong place. And in fact, I can only laugh as hard as I do when I remember my aunt telling that story and that happening to her, because it's happened to me before. All the wrong places. Wrong places have a way of feeling strange, don't they? Even if we end up in a place that we know, a place that we've been before, with which we're familiar, if we end up there, the right place at the wrong time, there's still something off. We're not supposed to be there. We're left feeling strange, aren't we? My aunt's safe from those kinds of stories, as far as I know, but I do have a friend from college, someone else who's close to me, who was invited to a good friend's wedding in Winston-Salem. And they were in school in Boone, and so she and her friend, who was also invited, decided to make the two-hour-long drive or so to the wedding. And wedding gifts in tow, they were excited to catch up with all their friends in Winston, much less see other friends get married. They were excited. Well, they made the two-hour-long drive filled with anticipation, and they got to the venue, the wedding venue, but they were a little surprised when they got there because they thought they had the right time, but they got there and there were only three cars at the wedding venue, and they weren't super early to the wedding. And two of the cars had the venue's logo on the vehicles. They were staff vehicles. So they knew this wasn't going to be a huge wedding, but there was something still a little off. So they waited a few minutes, puzzled that nobody else had showed up quite as early as them. They weren't as eager to get a good seat. They decided to make sure they got the location correct. So they took out the invitation, and they looked at the invitation, and they had the location correct, they noticed, but unfortunately the date they did not. They showed up a week early. So when they tell that story now, they like to explain that they were just more excited than everybody else, including the entire wedding party for this wedding, that they showed up a week early. All the wrong places. Showing up in the wrong place sometimes can be pretty funny, a bit comical in retrospect. But the fact is that sometimes it's not funny. Sometimes the wrong place can feel us leaving strange or off, like there's something not quite right. In fact, sometimes being in the wrong place can be scary. To be in a place with which you're unfamiliar, where you don't know your people, where you don't know the surroundings, where you don't have what you need. It's a feeling that in some way we can all relate to. None of us like to be in the wrong places. This is a feeling that the people of Israel knew all too well. In our passage today, the people of Israel find themselves in the wrong place. The people of Israel had been held as slaves in Egypt for years under the stern hand of Pharaoh. The Lord had finally heard their groanings and a great cry go up from Egypt. And by his power and his hand, he had brought them up out of Egypt into, or was leading them to the promised land. He had parted the Red Sea and they walked over on dry land. And they were on their way to a land flowing with milk and honey. But just then, where they finally thought they had arrived, they found out that the journey wasn't exactly that easy. The people of Israel found themselves in a wilderness, in the Hebrew Negev, another word for desert. They find themselves in a deserted place with no plentiful food or water like they had in Egypt. And in fact, in chapter 15, a couple chapters before this, they find themselves in a wilderness without any drinkable water in a place called Marah, which literally means bitter in Hebrew, because of the bitter taste of the water that was found there. And it doesn't get any better from there. Immediately following, in chapter 16, they find themselves in the wilderness of Shur, where they're a little unsure, and they can't find the food that they're looking for. And it's here that the Egyptians, that the Israelites, grumble against Moses and say to him, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, then where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, then to die out here for you to bring us to this wilderness to kill us and our children and our livestock with hunger." It surely seems like the wrong place. The people follow God's presence. You see, in the desert, the pillar of fire and cloud to Rephidim, which in Hebrew means a wide, spread out place. And after all this traveling, they get to the place, and again, they can't find water. After all this journeying, the people arrive in a place where they cannot find what they need to simply stay alive. So the people start to panic. They quarrel with Moses. They grumble against Moses. You know, it sounds like a real pleasure for Moses to lead these people. They cry out against Moses and they ask, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" The people of Israel are left without what they need. They've come all this way and hoped so much. They've journeyed under such harsh circumstances, and they've left slavery only to find themselves here in a strange place. In fact, what seems like the wrong place. This wilderness business just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like the right place where they were looking for. They can't find what they need, much less what they want. In fact, they've arrived in the wrong place. And, you know, no one likes to be in the wrong place or without the things that we need. But unfortunately for Israel, like Israel, we find ourselves in the wrong place at various times. It could be something as light and comical as when you show up to a wedding a week early, or when you overshoot your destination by a couple hours. But it might be something more real. It might be a wilderness of our own. It might be things that make us feel like we're in the wrong place. For example, consider our current climate. If I recall correctly, I think it was the first week of 2020 when the possibility of a major war with Iran was raised. And soon after that was the arrival of a pandemic, and our communities were still kind of dealing with. And of all things, I don't know if y'all remember this, but the remnants of a Saharan dust storm blew through our area. Something I never thought would imagine would have happened. The rise of cancel culture, protests, debates, violence, tension, wildfires, hurricanes, elections, and it's still just middle to late November. We've got another month and a half left. I saw online not long ago, someone was speaking about cancel culture, and they asked, can we not just cancel 2020, start over with 2021? All the wrong places. It seems like we're in a hard place, or maybe a wrong place right now. We may not be moving from physical desert to desert, but we might be moving from crises to crises of our own. We encounter those wildernesses on a national and a global scale, but we also encounter them in our own smaller communities and even individually, like the loss of a job, financial hardships, the death of a loved one, whether expected or not. I know I have several youth in my youth group who had to deal with I'm sure as you all know, tragic death of a student at Crest High a couple months ago. Problems in relationships, friendships, never encountered any of that in children's or youth ministry. Whatever shape it may take, we all experience times when we find ourselves in deserts or wildernesses of our own. Whether that be as a community or in our individual lives, we may find ourselves in what seems to be the wrong place. But there's something else that we can learn about these wrong places through Israel's story today. You see, Israel quarrels and they grumble with Moses, but throughout this whole passage, in fact, Moses names the place Massah and Meribah, which means quarreling and testing in Hebrew. Their attitude and the views toward wilderness, that it's a bad place or the wrong place because of their lack of water or their need, you see, it's due to where they're looking or where they might be searching for their needs more than anything. You see, Israel's looking at what's surrounding them, what they can see in front of them at the lack of water. They're looking at what they don't have, that what they can't get by their own strength, and they can't do anything about it. Their focus is on the wilderness surrounding them and their own weakness, their own inability, and the death and the waste of the wilderness around them. They're so focused on the despair of this world that they can't see the Lord right in front of them. They're so focused on how they cannot help themselves, on the death of the wilderness that surrounds them, that they can't see the life that's right in front of them that's offered to them. They can't see the one that parted the waters to lead them to Egypt. They can't see the one that turned the bitter water of this world into sweet water of life, living water, the bread of life, the true vine that rained manna down from the heavens that the world and the desert couldn't provide. The same one that has led them this far and provided for all their needs. You see, when the crises of the world try to pull Israel's gaze, their focus away from the Lord, the people were tempted to put their faith in their own power, in their own strength, and not in that of the Lord. They were focused on the weakness and inabilities of the world and not the one who overcame it. And so the Lord, in all his wisdom, especially with a people like Israel, his mercy, calls the people of Israel to refocus their attention on him. He doesn't just rain water down on them or lead them to a nearby river that's like unknown to them. He's a little more clever than that. He tells Moses to pass on before the people, taking the staff in his hand with some elders, to draw their gaze after Moses, and that after striking the rock with the staff, that water would flow from the rock right beneath him, right beneath the Lord, literally from the Lord's presence. So from his presence on the same mountain, Horeb at Sinai, from which God will give Israel the law, the water would flow from the Lord himself. So sisters and brothers, sojourning in all the wrong places sometimes teaches us at times that we're putting our faith in the wrong places. That instead of relying on our own power to fix our own problems, we must look for living water from the source of our lives, from the source of all life. That instead of our own pride, we can look to the Lord. That instead of being short-sighted, we must remember what all the things that the Lord has done for us previously, that everything he's given us. When we turn our faith to the Lord, we might find that being in all the wrong places actually gives us an opportunity to put our faith in the right place. When we focus our gaze on the Lord, when we place our faith in his power, we may find that we are finally in the right place. That we may finally rely upon the Lord, not upon our own powers, that we may face life's challenges with the Lord, knowing that he is what gives us our very lives, that we may rise above the world, for we worship the one who created it, that we may grieve, yet not hope in vain. We're not a people who hope in vain at the possibility of a loss, for We worship and find our lives in the very one who's defeated death itself. That instead of loving others as the world does conditionally, you know, if you agree with me, if you do what I do, that we may choose to love others unconditionally as the Lord loves us and all his children. That like Israel, we may find that we're turning away from the death of this world to life and life everlasting. And giving up our worldly lives, as Jesus taught us, we may find truly our lives. No matter where we find ourselves today, sisters and brothers, whatever kind of place, a wrong place, a bad place, as my dad used to say, between a rock and a hard place, dealing with a loss, broken relationship, a nagging bad habit, job loss, maybe just missing community and the ability for everyone at church and outside church together like we used to, may we seek to place our faith in the Lord. May we not allow the world to pull our eyes to all the wrong places, to the world, to the wilderness. Rather, in the coming weeks and months, as we move forward, let us look to the Lord. Keeping up with current events and staying informed, involved, engaged is highly important, but especially in this day and age, but may we remember where we place our faith in doing so. And as we look back at a pandemic of COVID, of color, and the ending of an election season, and whatever is to come in the future, may we remember to keep our gaze on the Lord. May we seek to follow his presence and his guidance. May we seek life in him. May we seek to love our neighbors as the Lord loves all his children, all of us. May we seek to bring others to the living waters that flow only from him. May we seek to bring others to him and to that life as well. So this Thanksgiving week in 2020, may we not worry about maybe what the world can't or doesn't give us, but may we remember and look to and follow the Lord who gives us our very life itself, who gives us each other and asks us to follow him as well. So sisters and brothers, as we go out into this world that hate, division, tensions we may encounter ourselves, may we find ourselves putting our faith in the right place. May we remember that our hope and our love and our life comes from the Lord who has overcome this world and gives us hope everlasting. Amen. If you will, pray with me. Okay. Your Heavenly Father, thank you again so much for your faithfulness, for your love, for your life. Thank you for church family and the body of Christ, for leaders like Andy, Catherine, and all the others here at Poplar Springs who serve so well and in love. May we leave from this place today and find ways to seek you in loving others and serving others, thankful for what you have given us and this hope that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.
See the promised land. One day there'll be no more lives taken too soon. One day there'll be no more need for a hospital room. One day every tear that falls will be wiped by his hand. We will see the promised land. Heartbreak, we've been free. sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come, there will be healing. Hallelujah. One day there'll be no more anger left in our eyes. One day the color of our skin won't cause a divide. One day we'll be family standing hand in hand. We will see the promised land. We will see the promised land. Hallelujah. There will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling. We'll sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come. There will be healing. Hallelujah. The promised land, we will see the promised land. Hallelujah. There will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling. We'll sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come. There will be healing. Hallelujah. And there will be healing. There will be healing. Hallelujah.
Church family, we want to thank you for being here with us this morning. For all those watching online, thank you for tuning in. Carson, thank you so much for sharing your word with us this morning. We have received a blessing, so we thank you. As we pray today, I want to ask that you go to the door so that people can greet you and say welcome to you. So thank you again for being here with us. I don't have my sheet. Nicole, who is our deacon of the week this week? Jimmy Queen. Jimmy Queen is our deacon of the week. So if you have any concerns, you can reach out to Jimmy or any of our deacons if you can't reach Nicole or I here at the church. To Andy, we miss you. We're glad that you're doing well, and we look forward to hearing more from you soon. Congregation, would you pray with me as we close out in worship this morning? God, we thank you for the chance to worship you this morning and to gather as your people. And God, as we move forward into this Thanksgiving week, God, may we be reminded of all the things that you have blessed us with. God, the things that sometimes we forget because we do get lost in the wilderness of our lives. God, remind us of how you have provided for us, how you have shown up for us, and how you have been faithful. Because, God, you are a faithful God. God, thank you for the chance, for weeks like this, where we can pause and truly remember all the things we have to be grateful for in this life. We love you, God, and we thank you for this time together this morning. And though we leave this place, may we not miss the chance to worship you and to praise your name throughout the week. Amen. Thank you, church family.